Cosmic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Joining us now from Dark Angel is Michael Weatherly. He plays Logan Cale on the show, which airs Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox TV. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Michael was born in New York City, but we'll still let him come on the show.
Well, I've got a lot of family in Boston. My sister lives in Boston, and my cousins are in Framingham.
Really?
My mom's in Rhode Island, but,
Well, that's
you know, that's where the farm league for the Red Sox is, right? Down in Pawtucket?
Well, Pawtucket, right. Yeah. Excellent. Now, you actually began acting professionally and got a great first job. You landed as Theo Huxtable's roommate on The Cosby Show. Nothing like landing on a number one show.
Yeah, and then had all my lines unceremoniously taken from me because of my, greenness, I suppose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was sort of a debacle of a debut. Because, you know, I called everybody in my family. I said, hey, I got my first job. You got to watch. Everybody watched, and I had one line.
But it was on the number one show, though.
Yeah, not exactly Kevin Costner.
Yeah. But. Now, how was the gentleman who played Theo? Was he a nice guy?
He's a super nice guy. In fact, the second day took me out to lunch and, like, you know, noticed that I was a little wet behind the ears and talked me through some of my nervousness and stuff. Really, really a nice guy. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Evan, don't seem too much anymore acting at this point.
Well, I think that, you know, once you make $1 billion in the Cosby world, you can... I think he's got his own private spaceship. He just flies around.
Well, pretty soon, when Dark Angel hits its 10th season, you'll be in the same condition. You know?
That's right. That's what... my goal is to keep doing Dark Angel until I really am in a wheelchair.
There you go.
That's really the...
Yeah. Well, your character, of course, uses one.
He does. We affectionately call him Roller Boy.
Not to offend anybody out there listening who's
No, not at all. It's a whole brand new way of to see the whole, you know, to see the show from my perspective is from, you know, a lower angle.
Now your character is really he's an idealistic cyber journalist and battles corruption and has been getting help from the lovely Jessica Alba and
the lovely Jessica Alba
plays the head person on this thing. Human prototype, and a fine prototype I would like to play with in my experimental basement, but that's another story. Lovely lady to work with, eh?
Lovely lady to work with, and you know, Mark, there are some federal and state laws that you'd have to you know, abide by if you were going to bring her down to your basement.
I believe she is 18, though.
She is 18.
She can voluntarily play in my basement with me.
It would have to be consensual, is what I'm saying. You couldn't tie her up.
Oh, Michael, you had to mention that.
Well,
I knew there was
something
missing there. I just couldn't place it. You know, so you did The Cosby Show.
Right.
You've done a number of shows. Actually, you were a series regular on Fox's Significant Others.
Right.
Now, who was in that show as well?
That was Scott Burstow, who's a, you know,
he was in Party of Five. And,
Party of Five, right.
Yeah, and many other shows.
And
actually was on this show, too, as a matter of fact.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he's a great guy. And Jennifer Garner, who was on another... who was on Time of Your Life last year, which
With Jennifer lovely Love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She just married Scott Foley, who's a Felicity guy.
Really?
I don't, you know, there's two Scotts on that show.
Yeah.
And he's the sweet guy with the big eyes.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, great cast, and Elizabeth Mitchell, and who's, you know, sort of been working nonstop, and a guy named Ian Bailey, who was also working a lot. Significant Others was a great show.
Yeah.
It just didn't. It didn't, I guess, have an opportunity to take off. But
TV is so weird, you know. There are some shows that are really, truly not great, and they do great because of the time slot they're in. There are others that are wonderful shows, and they never get a fair shot from the networks.
Yeah, so you know, finding an audience in today's market is it's like robbing a bank. You know, I mean, you've got to get in and out fast. You got to make your hit, and you know, don't get caught. And it's really. It's a science. Some people who've been doing it for years, you know, Stephen Bochco's of the world and everyone else, still fail. You know, Steven Spielberg just had a show that was supposed to start, and, you know, they pulled the plug on it before they even made for the first episode.
Hmm.
And that's Spielberg, you know, so...
Yeah, Now, you actually did the film The Last Days of Disco as well.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What a wonderful movie that is. I hate the music. I can't stand that music.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Yeah, that hideous rock and roll disco stuff.
Yeah, it just drove me crazy. The movie was actually pretty cool, but I just couldn't stand listening to that music.
Yeah, everyone kept saying to me, you know, I don't understand, Michael. We went to go see the movie, but there's not a lot of disco in it. And I said, that's right, because it's called The Last Days of Disco.
There's a little in there, the beginning of the movie, though.
Yeah, but it's not a whole movie about, like, you know, disco dancing. No. It's not Saturday Night Fever or whatever.
No, if it was, I wouldn't be able to listen to it. Although, you know, I did admire John Travolta's moves, though, in Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's a good dancer.
Mr. Travolta, staying alive.
Mm. Now, talking about staying alive, you were also co-starred with Christina Applegate. What a great segue that was. Yes, no relation at all, staying alive.
Dovetailing seamlessly, Mark.
Yes, it's just amazing how. I just talked to J.C. McKenzie, who acted with Ed O'Neill, who played Earl Bundy. Now, you acted with Christina Applegate, the young Bundy girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have been kind of fun to be acting with Christina Applegate, the lovely Christina Applegate.
You know, it's the hardest part of my job, having to work with Chloe Sevigny and Kate Beckinsale, and then Christina Applegate and Jessica Alba.
That's tough.
You wake up in the morning and you just have to pull those boots on and go to work and just trudge through it, really.
Yeah, I've invited them all to my basement, by the way. But
your basement sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it's great. But I haven't got any positive responses yet. So.
Yeah, you've got.
They'll all do
like
interviews.
Something out of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, they'll all do interviews, but they just won't come to the basement.
They won't come behind the green door.
So was that a great experience doing Jesse? Actually, that's a show that did extremely well for a while because of its placement, but didn't think it was an incredibly great show.
Yeah, well, it had a hard time finding, I think, its voice as a show. You know, the thing that gave it its character, and you know, sometimes when you spend too much time trying to find your identity, you realize you don't have a time slot anymore because somebody else comes in. And like Will and Grace, I think usurped the time slot. But for the people that made the show, Jesse was made by the people who made Friends,
right?
Who were on the next stage. You know, you'd come into work at Jesse and you'd see Matthew Perry and Matt LeBlanc and everybody getting out of their Porsches and everything, walking into their stage. And then the next stage was ER, so you'd see Clooney and Julianne Margulies and everybody, and there we were just kind of trudging into Jesse, trying to, hoping for that kind of, you know, success.
Did you get to talk to like people like Jennifer Aniston at all? Or just say,
no.
Hey, hi.
Oh, no. I just stayed in my own lane.
Do those folks, they weren't exactly friendly coming in?
Oh, they're very friendly. It's just... at a certain point, they just kind of go from their car to their dressing room.
Yeah.
They try to avoid any conversation. But I think an incredibly nice group of people, because I've sort of seen them, you know, in other things.
Mm. Isn't it the dream to be in a position they were in to get the kind of incredible money they're getting for that show?
It is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy. I remember the first time hearing about a TV star. Ted Danson on Cheers was getting some, enormous amount of money on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that was, you know, whatever, 8 years ago or something, 9 years ago. And now when you look at the money he was getting, it seems, you know.
Well, they're getting as much in an episode as he did for the year.
Yeah, it's crazy, all right. But,
hey, that's great. Whatever
big money in TV.
Yeah. Now, I understand that at one point you guested on Ally McBeal.
Yeah, that aired several weeks ago. I don't know when it was, the 17th or 23rd of October, I think.
Now, what did you play on the show?
I was a young man who had seemingly married for money, with a gold digger, and Peter McNichol was the prosecuting attorney, and Ken Lerner was my defense attorney, and I was basically just a sort of a storyline foil. I shot it in July, and it was such a great experience. It's like, you know, doing a Mary Tyler Moore or something.
I love that appeal. And the episode you're talking about was when a wife was suing her husband, I believe, because she said that he was just marrying her for money or something, or he wanted to get a divorce settlement or something like that.
He was trying to get a divorce settlement from her, and she was contesting it. And then the court awarded him the the money, and then he went up after the trial and said, I don't want the money, I just wanted to, you know, and I'm sorry we had to go through all this, but I wanted to show you that I didn't, you know, I wasn't interested in the money.
Right.
And the only way you would believe me is if we went through all this and then I got it and then didn't take it.
Mm. That was I thought that was a great episode. I really have enjoyed the Ellie this year. The writing's improved considerably.
Yeah, it's sort of turned around, hasn't it? Robert Downey, in no small part, I think, has contributed to that.
Absolutely. I think it's doing what Heather Locklear did to Melrose Place, which you enjoyed.
Yeah, just a little spark plug. And he's, you know, he is a spark plug.
Mm.
He's alive in every corner of that story, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the Doc Angel airs every Tuesday night. Do you actually sit and watch the show when it comes on?
We are working usually on Tuesdays when it airs, but we get these videotapes sent up from... We shoot in Vancouver.
Right.
So we get the show sent up from L.A., and we sit around in our trailers, J.C. and Allie Mae Ballard and Richard Gunn, and every once in a while Miss Alba Deans, you know, to...
She'll actually stoop down and go into the trailer with you guys?
Yeah, you know, she'll stick her head in and say, what are you guys doing? Mm. We'll just point at her on TV, say, we're watching you.
See, next time that Jessica says to you she doesn't want to go in the trailer, tell her it's either the trailer or Snyder's basement.
Now, is Snyder's basement, where is it, in Gloucester? Do you have, like, a special place? Is it in Boston?
It's in Boston.
It's in Boston proper.
Yeah, well, it's just south of Boston in a secret location that only Batman knows.
I see. You know, I went to Boston University for about 6 minutes.
Did you really?
Yep.
Did you get to pal around
right
with John Silber?
No. No. But it's back when the Rat Scaler was still in Kenmore Square. I don't think it's there anymore, is it?
No, those were the days. Kenmore Square is like this place now that has all, you know, these, you know, regular stores that are all over the country. It's kind of yucky now.
I haven't been to Boston in a while. I've got to get back there.
Yeah, Boston is great, though. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Back
place.
Bay. I mean, I lived in the corner of Beacon and Mass Ave, and there was this bar called The Crossroads, where we would... That was the place to play darts.
Yeah, I think that's gone, too.
And Davio's was the pizza place on Newberry.
Still there.
Yep.
Yeah, Davio's is still there. Probably will be, too. You know, the prices they charge for pizza, we have to finance it over the course of a year.
Well, that's, you know... Boston is not a cheap place.
No, it's not. It's one of the more expensive ones. But, of course, as a star of Dark Angel on Fox, you're
that's
rolling,
moving to
rolling in the
Square.
Box. Rolling in the box.
I'll be over in Beacon Hill.
Now, I understand you're a musician as well.
Yeah, I do, you know, sort of dabble in that. But it's not a vocation. It's a hobby.
But interestingly enough, though, people like Jamie Walters and some of these folks who land on TV shows who are musicians can then turn around and, you know, make some money out of it.
So, pull a hassle off?
Yeah, possibly you can be...
get big in Germany?
Yeah, why not? He's huge in Europe, because no one wants him around here. But, you know, there is... Maybe he'll be big in Japan or something, you know? You never know.
Yeah, well, it certainly hasn't... my songs are a little dark.
Well, Dark Angel. Well,
Dark Angel.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, listen, if Dark Angel becomes a hit, and it is already a hit, but if it stays on a few years and has some longevity to it as well,
sure,
Michael Weatherly will be a rock star, I'm telling you right now.
But maybe, you know what I've always thought we don't have in the country anymore is a good traveling circus, Mark. Like a strong kind of P.T. Barnum. Now that would be my kind of deal.
Circus.
Yeah, big, you know, they've got the Cirque du Soleil, but that's all Europeans coming in. Uh-huh. I'm talking about some good old-fashioned Americana, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trapeze artists and, you know, elephants bouncing on trampolines and...
Well, I won't mention that Ringling Brothers still travels the country and...
I know, but it's dated. I'm saying the new, you know, we need a new sort of big circus. You know what? I'm really just kidding.
I'm serious about you becoming a rock star, though. I mean, if you're really into music, even if it's like the, even if it's dark music, it certainly hasn't hurt some of the folks out there who are singing dark music, mostly the women who are doing that.
Right.
But I mean, you know, starting with Jane Oliver and running all the way to the folks who are out there now, dark music sells. People are, a lot of them, in dark moods. And
yeah, Radiohead
Dark Angel.
I mean, Radiohead
is. Call it dark music from Dark Angel. Michael Weatherly sings.
You know, can I give you my agent's phone number? You're doing a better job at this than
he
is.
Well, you should probably hire me, but I only do basement auditions with women, so I don't do the...
okay.
Sorry,
well, I could operate the camera or something. I do that on the show. Did you ever watch Dark Angel?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great show, by the way. I like it. You know, I really enjoy it.
Well, tonight's show, because it's on tonight at 9, mm-hmm. is absolutely hysterically fun. It's what they call a bottle show. which is the producer's attempt to kind of scale back some of the large-scale stunts and everything that go on in a normal show and kind of make it for cost.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular show, what happened was it ballooned into the biggest show we've made yet.
Really?
My character, it's like a Die Hard kind of situation where there's a hostage crisis in a tall building, and my guy goes in as a negotiator and gets brought to the roof of the building through a series of circumstances that I don't want to reveal, but my guy basically gets thrown off the top of a 25-story building.
Oh, that's always fun.
Wheelchair and all.
Oh, nice.
At plummeting at quite a rate down towards the cement. And luckily, there's a genetically engineered human prototype to, you know, save
yes.
the day. But
yes.
that's why I can talk to you
yes.
still.
Because lovely Max will take care of you.
Yeah. But, I mean, all of a sudden, this show that was supposed to be, you know, the sort of the small-scale show, save some money show, became this huge, you know, we spent 2 days in harnesses and rigs and green screens swinging around on ropes. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to swing around with Jessica, which...
Well, yeah, I don't want to discuss that because I'm
not jealous. A bad way to spend your day.
Yeah, it would be a wonderful day. But you got a good character. I like it. He's very idealistic and kind of a fun character.
Yeah, know? Logan is definitely single-minded, and he's getting slightly distracted by the genetically engineered girl.
Well, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? But and that just makes him angrier than normal.
Hmm. Now, have we ever found out why he's in the wheelchair?
Well, in the pilot, in the 2 hour first episode, he's walking around and he gets shot about 3/4 of the way through.
Oh. I never saw the pilot. That's the reason why I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how. So that's how he lands in the wheelchair. And the reason that he was in harm's way was because Max, experimental girl, wasn't there. He asked her to help him, and she blew him off. And then he got shot up. So she feels a little responsible.
Now, why can't she do anything about his disability there? You know, she is a genetically enhanced human prototype, so maybe...
she
would be able to figure something out.
You've asked the question that I think gets addressed in the coming weeks.
Ooh.
Ah.
See that? I've touched on a nerve. And hopefully out there, everybody that has been listening today to JC and Michael will put their TVs on at 9 o'clock, and every Tuesday night get into a habit... The Dark Angel habit.
Alan
McBeal habit every Monday at 9. That's always on there. But now I've included it at 8 o'clock Boston Public since we've had a lot of the cast on the show.
Yeah.
It's a good show, too.
Boston Public's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Fox is a fun place to go.
Always has been. That's my favorite network.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot.
They don't take themselves too seriously, but, you know.
No, well, they had some really crazy specials, like this millionaire thing and all this other stuff they had. There were these secret wedding... request like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the DARPA Conger stuff.
Yeah, that and last week or the week before they had that special where people actually were trapped by their girlfriend to ask to get married on stage live. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was one guy from Boston was on there and his girlfriend of a year and a half was wearing a wedding gown. He thought she was getting a makeover. And when he came on the stage, she was in a wedding gown and asking him to marry her.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
That is not a pleasant thought.
No, that's not where you want that to happen. I mean, how many times in restaurants have you seen, you know, people stand up, they get water in the face, the guy gets stranded holding a ring in the middle of the room?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it can go either way.
It can. And to be on national TV and have it go the wrong way is really embarrassing.
Yeah, a proposal is not a guarantee.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Weatherly, who plays Logan Cale on Dark Angel every Tuesday night at 9 on Fox. I know you got to get going. I actually had to work for
yeah.
a living. But
tune
really
in.
Pleasure.
It's a lot of fun.
It was a pleasure talking to you. And
nice talking
we'll
to you
do
too.
It again in a couple of years or whenever we're going to update it, okay?
When I'm promoting the album, Mark, you'll be the first guy to call.
I hope that you do one. I mean, I really, you know, take advantage of what life has given you here, giving you a hit show on Fox. Dark Angel. In fact, maybe you can get them to play one of your songs on Dark Angel and then say featured on Dark Angel on the CD cover, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to call LA right now.
Yes, tell them that Mark Snyder told you to call and get this thing rolling.
All right.
All right, Michael, take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.